You have a global cell link collect call from
Umia Abu Jamal,
an inmate at a state correctional institution at Mahanoy. The use of three-way or a call waiting will disconnect the call. This call will be recorded and monitored. To hear the cost of this call, press 8 now. To accept this call, press 5 now. If you wish to block any future calls of this nature, dial 7 now.
Oh, yeah?
To decline this call, hang up.
Hola.
Hola, Mumia.
Hey.
Hola.
How you doing?
Good.
Thank you so much for calling us.
The pleasure is mine.
So, my name is Eric.
I'm Corey.
And we're two members of the Liberation Frequency Independent Media Collective. Just so you know who we are.
Okay. So, Eric, Corey.
Do you want to get started, Corey?
Yeah. We were wondering, have you been following the election at all right now?
I have. I've been watching debates and, of course, reading news articles and listening to news reports and so forth.
Yeah? What are your thoughts on that right now, since it's approaching here in the next
I think
weeks?
That, well, you know, I pay a lot of attention, of course, to published accounts, but also broadcast accounts. And I tend to be very critical of how the media is covering this. For anyone who's paying attention to this, this is more about style than substance. That's because while you hear both candidates talk about jobs, and the economy, I would bet you that you've heard none of them mention the term NAFTA. NAFTA stands for the North American Free Trade Agreement. It governs everything. It is the reason why manufacturing jobs left the United States back in 1996, 97, and thereafter for decades. And why we have such small manufacturing today, you know, considering. It affected the kind of wages people made. It affected the lifestyles of people who considered themselves middle class. They weren't, but they considered themselves middle class.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that it changed the American economy. And unless and until you hear a politician talking about repealing or at least amending NAFTA, then everything else is meaningless.
I also thought it was interesting that during the debates, no one was talking about the NDAA or the use of drones.
This call is from the State Correctional Institution at Mahanoy and is subject to monitoring and recording.
But that's precisely the reason why I say that this is more about style than substance, because, you know, on all the big issues, in fact, there's more agreement than disagreement. There's a difference in style, but it's like the difference between say rap and reggae, you know, it has a different beat, but it's essentially very similar music. And because both of them are corporate politicians and they represent the interests of Wall Street and the wealthy, they don't represent middle class people. And they certainly don't represent the working class and the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
So we were wondering also what you thought about the DREAM Act and what you thought about the current struggle of undocumented youth in the United States.
Well, it's interesting that you would ask that kind of question. I'll tell you why. For years, that is for the last 4 years or so, you heard the very far right wing question the citizenship of one of the candidates, suggesting that he was born in Kenya and therefore was not a true American. In point of fact, I know in the last debate you heard one candidate say that he was born in Mexico and then he rushed to say of American parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wrong. Now, there is never even a question about his origins because, of course, he's white.
Naturally.
You know. And we don't get into the very substantive truth that the reason why you had the immigration booms into America is the long train of repression that's happened throughout Central America and Latin America by the efforts of the U.S. government supporting right-wing dictatorships and military governors all throughout the region. So people were fleeing a pattern of oppression in their homelands, and they thought that it would be safer, shall we say, to come to the United States.
And then they come here and they have to show their papers everywhere they go.
And then you come here and you have to show your papers, and, you know, it's almost like, you know, we get the line, show your papers, from, you know, movies showing the Second World War and the Nazi era. Well, it's now becoming the American era.
And we were wondering particularly about where you think the place, like the historical place of the undocumented youth struggle is, because we personally see a lot of similarities with that, with like the Panthers and the Freedom Riders.
Yeah, we see a lot of similarities in terms of how the undocumented struggle resembles like the first steps into a new social movement with like radical
elements.
Well,
we're in the beginning.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I think we're in the beginning era of that. Because, you know, in point of fact, look at this. Why do you think Republican governments all across the United States automatically began cutting down on voting qualifications, and, you know, people needed passports and they needed federal ID and that kind of stuff? You know, it's about what a Republican strategist named Rollins, Ed Rollins, said a few years ago. He said, we, speaking of the Republican Party, are too old, too white, and too fat. So how do you kind of resolve that contradiction? You create new rules that excludes millions and millions of people from the voting booth.
From being a part of the process.
Absolutely. And you know, this is a long-held strategy of the right wing all around the world. You know, you uphold how precious the right to vote is, and then you make fewer and fewer people able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is essentially a recipe for repression in terms of the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can control who comes out to vote, you can control the outcome of that vote. And, you know, we've had, let's be honest, we've had stolen elections in the United States, certainly in 2000, perhaps in 2004. Well, why not have it in 2012?
Mm-hmm.
It worked before.
Do you think that the undocumented youth struggle right now is kind of like the beginning steps, similar to like SNCC's involvement and where they started out?
No, I don't, because I don't really analogize it to past movements. I think it's
while
it has certain, you know, vibrations from past movements, it is an original movement in that sense. I mean, if you look at American history, there have been waves of reaction to immigration.
Right.
Many of it negative. When people came from Southern Europe, that is Italy and parts of that that part of the world, they were treated horrifically in the United States, you see, and they were relegated to the worst slums, the worst jobs, the worst living conditions. In the early part of the 20th century, you had what they called suit riots in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
where Mexican-Americans were forcibly deported in the thousands, if not tens of thousands, because it was kind of white anxiety about, you know, brown men coming to the land of their ancestors, California. So this is not a new thing, but we're looking now at the beginning of a movement that's beginning to have a vast impact far beyond itself. And because it's younger, it's smarter, and it's able to take lessons from past movements and build movements on top of that. So, but I think it's unique.
Also, I was wondering what your opinions were on the fact that ethnic studies has been made illegal in Arizona, and that the La Raza Mexican-American Studies program was shut down, and that even one of your books was one of the books that has been banned in Tucson.
Well, my first reaction is, thank you. I'm proud to be banned in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something.
I love it. And, you know, because it says, if it wasn't saying anything, then no one would dare ban it.
That's right, brother.
It's saying something, obviously. You know. The other thing is, the correct reaction to American history is certainly not to ban other history and run away from it. The real deal is that American history is more beautiful, more horrific, more wonderful, and more terrible than most of us would like to admit to know. And that's actually a quote, not verbatim, but certainly in the spirit of James Baldwin. I read a book recently called American Holocausts, and it talks about how the invaders from Spain and from England came to the Americas and created one of the most horrific Holocausts in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the eradication of the indigenous people of the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we talk about Holocaust, we usually are talking about the destruction and the erasure of some 6 million people during the period of the Second World War by the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
We do not even think about the almost 100 million people who were exterminated to create what the Nazis called Lebensraum, or living room, for whites from Europe. Because they were not white people, the eradication of these people is not considered a Holocaust. It's considered a gift from God.
Mm-hmm. Like manifest destiny, right?
Right. So when we talk about manifest destiny, when we talk about what can only be called a Holocaust to any fair-minded person, why is it illegal now in Arizona or anywhere else to study that history? Because they don't want you to know that history. Because history, as Malcolm used to say, is best used to open up our minds. You know, history best rewards our research, is his direct quote.
Mm-hmm.
When we learn about true history, it transforms how we see today, not yesterday. It affects our lives today, not yesterday. And that's mm-hmm. why they don't want millions of Chicano kids, millions of black kids, and millions of white kids to mm-hmm. know true American history.
Mm-hmm.
What I was wondering about, like, your role as a journalist, and what advice would you give as independent journalists in terms of making sure that we do everything in our power to get what corporate media and mainstream media is leaving out, and making sure that we're representing people properly.
Well, pay attention to people's movements, pay attention to people's history, pay attention to people's struggles for justice of today, because those are the kinds of things that corporate media does not give to its quote-unquote customers.
Mm-hmm.
Only in America could they have sold the Iraq War, for example, as weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And really it was weapons of mass misinformation given to millions of people by a corporate media that could care less that it was supporting a war. They were just supporting their corporate masters. They were supporting their advertisers.
Their ratings.
They were supporting the state, the government, and, you know, and ratings. And, you know, they were playing, you know, patriotic music, and they were wearing flag lapels, and, you know, and they were doing everything but dressing up in uniforms. But, you know, perhaps that's for the next war, maybe the one in Iran. But the media serves a certain class. We have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so people's journals.
This call is from the Close Correctional Institution at Mahanoy and is subject to monitoring and recording.
So people's journalists have to serve other interests. That is, people's mm-hmm. struggles, people's true history, and to enlighten people as opposed to, you know, sell them out.
So since we're almost out of time, I want to say thank you again and let you know that we're recording from the Rebel Diaz Arts Collective in
you
the
have
South 60 Bronx.
60 seconds remaining.
And
thank you, Eric.
And the whole family here gives you a shout out. And we're starting a radical library in January, and for April, we're going to be reading We Want Freedom.
That's what I'm talking about. That gives me a great pleasure to hear that.
That was our inspiration really for journalism.
Thank you. That's a beautiful
thank
thing
you.
To hear. And I wrote We Want Freedom for young people. So You know, I know it's a challenging read, but I put a lot into it.
30 seconds remaining.
And I hope people read it, enjoy it, and pass it on, as illegal as it may be in Arizona.
Well, thank you so much, brother. We love you. Stay strong.
Yeah, stay strong.
Thank
appreciate
you. I love
it.
You too. On the move. Long live John Africa. Viva Libertad.
Yes. Hasta luego.